Hello and welcome. I'm Chubby Jerem Singh from Money Mind, the CNA show that's all about making money work better for you. Today, we're talking about digital assets making waves in the art world, and that's NFTs, which stand for non-fungible tokens. To take us through the five things you need to know about NFTs, I'm joined by Kelvin Goh, Head of Wealth Advisory at OCBC Bank, and Andy Lien, an advisor board member of Hyundai DAC. Andy is also a business strategist and a blockchain expert. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chubby.
Thank you.
All right, let's put things into context. NFTs first went mainstream back in 2017 with the invention of CryptoKitties. CryptoKitties is a blockchain-based virtual game that allowed players to adopt, raise, and trade birds or cats. These virtual cats could fetch over $100,000. But fast forward to today, NFTs for digital art and tweets are going for millions of US dollars, from kitties on a blockchain to digital art. Andy, so what exactly is an NFT and how does it work? And what are some of its properties?
Sure. Just a brief definition of an NFT is a non-fungible token. It is a unit of data stored on the blockchain as a digital ledger, which can represent a unique digital item like artwork. How does this really work? Traditional works, you know, such as art, paintings, are valuable because they are one of its kind. Digital file, on the other hand, can be easily duplicated and is endless. With NFT, artwork can be tokenized to create a digital certificate of ownership that can be bought and sold. As with a cryptocurrency, a record of who owns what is stored on a shared ledger known as blockchain. The records cannot be forged. It will be maintained by thousands of computers around the world. So NFTs can also incorporate things like smart contract into the whole NFT. It's not just about artwork. It is a very robust and also kind of an endless possibility kind of a route for NFTs. There are talks about putting NFTs for air tickets. We can put NFTs to data sets. We can put NFT to services and so forth. So right now, NFT is more about art, but things will evolve.
I think to just what Andy said, in terms of the potentials for NFT, I think it's probably close to limitless in terms of the things that can be used and put into practical use. For myself, things like ownership of digital assets, recordings, music, for example. I think the music industry has been beset by lots of issues with regards to piracy, with ownership concerns. NFTs does seem to be quite the tool to solve some of the underlying issues when it comes to some of these digital assets.
All right, let's talk about some of these numbers. We know that Mike Wilkelman, better known as Beeple, saw his artwork sell for a staggering $69 million. And even Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter's first tweet, fetched $2.9 million. That makes each tweet of 24 characters about $120,000 each. Now, how do we value NFTs and why would anyone pay so much for these digital pieces of media?
I think that's what most people are probably asking at this point in time. So when it comes to NFTs, a lot of the traditional basis of valuations, I think they are very much thrown out the window. The maxim that comes to mind is price is what you pay for, but value is what you get. So in this case, I think some of the sums that are being paid are indeed eye-popping. As to whether or not the value that's being ascribed to these assets that they are paying for, I think that's very much up to anyone's guess at this point in time. And if I want to bring it a bit further, I would actually equate some of these NFTs to some of the other alternative assets that are being talked about, specifically with regards to artwork, wine, watches. It's almost on the same basis whereby whoever pays for it, I do believe there's some hope that prices will indeed appreciate going forward. But as to what extent, as to whether or not the prices that are being paid would be refunded with an additional layer of profit, I think those are question marks, at least at this point in time.
Let me just add on. I think right now, when you look at the NFT market, I do see that there are two separate groups of people. Yeah, one group are the art enthusiasts. They've really felt that this piece of artwork or this NBA moment on Topshop is valuable. You know, he sees the value. And of course, they must like it, right? So that's how they see the value. The other group of people who are more crypto-driven, I would not say it's part of a cult, but, you know, it is part of a belief that, okay, you know, since this artwork is very much about, example, CryptoPunks, this can relate to me, I have to support the industry. I have to put up a bid that is fairly showy to show off that I'm there to support it. So these are the two separate kind of thoughts that are happening in the space right now.
Who knows, maybe one of your tweets might be worth millions of dollars.
Happy to donate them.
Andy, Kelvin, has either one of you bought or sold anything with an NFT?
I have actually gone into some of these sites to take a look at some of the items which are on offer, some of the prices that are being talked about, at least on a personal level, I'm unable to convince myself to pay for some of these prices. Hence, I haven't really bought anything into this space at this point in time.
All right, let's say you're interested in a new piece of digital art, like a new meme that's just been released. How do you go about buying? Could you then maybe walk us through the steps? And can I use cash and then somehow convert it to crypto and then buy it? Is that how it works?
Right now, NFTs, marketplaces, they are very much crypto-driven. So you need to, you know, have a crypto wallet. And the crypto wallet, of course, needs to have some crypto asset. How are you going to convert your fiat to crypto? You could use a legal OTC. You could also look at using your credit card. But the process is going to be quite a pain. So I'll give you an example. If today you saw on the marketplace something that you'd really like, by the time you convert your money, your fiat money into crypto, and then into the wallet, and then you want to buy it, you will probably be very late for the auction. So the key thing is you need to have a wallet with enough crypto asset, connect it to the platform, buy it, and then keep it. So it's quite simple, but there is a bit of getting used to it and also a fair bit of a trust that you need to put onto that platform.
Right, we'll pick up on investing in NFT in just a bit. Just to recap, NFTs or non-fungible tokens are essentially a proof of provenance, which means the origin, the authenticity, and the ownership and transaction details of its underlying assets. An NFT's price cannot be measured using the traditional valuation methods, but is dependent on a willing buyer or seller. NFTs are transacted using cryptocurrency, but you can still cash the cryptocurrency out to fiat. Now let's talk a bit more about investing in NFTs. Joining me now is Kelvin Goh, Head of Wealth Advisory at OCBC Bank, and Andy Lien, an Advisory Board Member of Hyundai DAC. Let's look at who's buying NFTs. Some people buy because they truly like the digital art or property they're buying, but many now are jumping on the bandwagon in hopes of earning big money. Do you think NFTs can be considered an alternative asset class?
With regards to it being an alternative asset class, I do perceive it as that, but at least as compared to some of the other asset classes that are being talked about, let's say, for example, traditional artwork, wine, there's still that idea of tangibility. Art is something you can still appreciate, you can still hang on the wall. Wine is still something that can still be sampled and everything. But when it comes to digital assets, and that's where some of the risk that's related to digital assets come into play as to whether is it true ownership in that sense. Copyright issues may also creep in. So I would think that there's an additional layer of risk assessment that needs to be done when it comes to NFTs.
Another thing that we have to take note of, although cryptocurrency, NFTs, traditional banking, they seem to be very different, but actually the principle behind it are almost similar. So when Kelvin mentioned about the trust element and so forth, you just imagine you are going into an NFT marketplace and that marketplace is a reputable marketplace with verified artwork from gallery, for example. If we can establish that kind of things upfront, then I guess the trust level will be there. Yeah. So whether it's going to be secured and not secured, whether it's original or not, I think blockchain technology is adding an additional layer of security to your artwork or to your asset. So NFTs are quite new and it will be more volatile going forward. I would agree that the NFT climate feels very similar to a cryptocurrency years ago, especially in 2017. But currencies that have traded with a lot of volume in the last few years might not do well in the future. So is it going to be considered as an alternative asset class? We have to really see. But we have to, again, understand whether it's cryptocurrency or NFTs, they are trying to mimic the traditional asset.
So that's the fourth thing you need to know about NFTs. Make sure you always check the reliability of the platform or item before you start investing in NFTs as an alternative asset class. We have been discussing what NFTs are and why they are trending at the moment. My last question for you gentlemen today is, what does the growth of the NFT market mean for us investors in Asia? Is it just a cryptocurrency trend?
I do see that in line with the interest on crypto assets, interest in NFTs, it will pick up. To Andy's point, I think the trust element is extremely important. There are various platforms that are in play. So the more established they are, the more the sense of reliability that comes into play, I think that will be very, very helpful for this particular space. From my perspective, I think, again, just to highlight, it's more on to the point which I made earlier with regards to the price versus the value of things. As much as some of these eye-popping amounts are being talked about, whether or not you can get another buyer for this asset that you have just purchased. It's very much a supply and demand. And I'll just add on to the point that it could actually be perceived as supply versus demand more than anything else. If I were to approach this space from an investor's point of view, a lot of research, a lot of due diligence has been done. And I would approach some of these assets on the basis of interest, that I truly appreciate this, rather than to look at it from a pure investing point of view. It does come with substantial risk, at least when you compare with traditional risk assets.
I also add on, whenever we talk about investors in Asia, I would love to divide this into two separate parts again. One is the professional investors. As a professional investor, even for myself, I see that we should just go back to the basics, where the artwork is from, where this piece of collectible is from, can we verify it, so forth and so on. But for the retail investors, are very different because many of them are coming in with the mindset that the NFT is going to be 100x or maybe 1000x, depending on when you come in. So I think for those retail investors, if they are putting small amount of money and hope that, you know, they could get a proper asset or they could get a proper appreciation of the asset, they know the risk, they know exactly what they are into, I think it is totally fine. But if they do not know what they are getting themselves into, if their bank has only 10,000 and they are going for a 9,000 kind of investment onto NFT, that would be risky because NFTs literally are just tokens in some ways. It might not allow you to get that kind of return in a short time frame. Whatever people tell you online or even on some of the ads and so forth, high return, fast return, everyday 5% on your artwork and so forth, that's obviously not true. You know, if that is going to work, Christie would have to close shop, you know, by end of this year. I think we have to be very careful. I think the growth is still there. We just need to differentiate between what is marketing, what is advertising, and what is real. And then take a calculated investment position.
All right, exercise caution and discretion. Andy and Kelvin, thank you both very much for joining me on the podcast today.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Javi.
You've been listening to the 5 things you need to know about NFTs or non-fungible tokens. I've been speaking with Kelvin Goh, Head of Wealth Advisory at OCBC Bank, and Andy Lien, an advisory board member of Hyundai DAC. Thanks for listening, and catch us again on the next 5 things you need to know podcast by CNA's Money Mind team.